This is SEC Talk.
Guess who's back again.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to it. A funny little song there that I was trying to add to it. I don't know if it blended very well or not. Welcome to it. It's SEC Talk. It is Holden. Glad to be back here. I know we haven't really been back in a little while. I think the last two recording sessions we had pretty much got dropped after we've had plenty of technical issues. A few weeks ago, had the issue with my computer just about crashing. Last week, had the issue with not only my camera completely going down, but the mic decided just to quit working altogether. Luckily, we got everything back and working. So fingers crossed we can make it through this episode fairly easy. We got a lot to get to. A lot to get to from a busy and extremely great week of football in week five, not only around the SEC, but around the country in general. Again, plenty to get to, but we're going to do it pretty quickly because we're just going to run through them quickly and give a little bit of update on what we're looking at in week six coming up and a couple of other bigger games that we've got coming up in the SEC this week. Glad to be with you guys. Let's start it off like this. Make sure you go over to Twitter. Follow us there at SECTalk20 on Twitter. If you guys watch on YouTube, I'm not up on YouTube yet. Got to get my camera fixed. That way we can get back up and running on YouTube. But if you want to, make sure you guys follow the link in the description of the episode. Go and subscribe to the YouTube channel there. If you watch the videos, give us that thumbs up, like. Also, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you go and rate and review us there. Give us those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and the review there. Would really appreciate that. Again, we are available pretty much anywhere you guys listen. We should be up and there. We'll also have the support link in the description of the podcast. If you guys feel like supporting the show, you can click that link. It gives you a few options to be able to do exactly that. Again, appreciate you guys being here. And we are going to jump straight into it. A bunch of games from week five, a lot of fun. I'm going to stay true to my word, and I did do picks last week that I recorded in the entire hour of the show that I recorded. That ended up completely going to the trash because, again, the mic just wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So I'm going to stay true to my word on the picks that I had from last week, and I will run back through those. And wasn't a good week for me, unfortunately, but we'll get to that. Let's run through the top 25 real quick because that did drop yesterday. And it shapes up just like this. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Georgia. Two SEC teams there in the top two slots. Both teams are pretty much interchangeable in that spot and really the only two teams in the entire country to really set themselves apart from the rest of contention in the country. Alabama and Georgia have been dominant on both sides of the ball for the last few weeks and, again, have just kind of pulled away from the rest of the country. But then we jump on down to the rest of it. Number three, Iowa. Iowa jumping up there after Oregon falls from that three spot. Penn State there in four. Cincinnati cracking the top five there in the five spot. Oklahoma at six. Ohio State 7. Oregon falling down to 8th. Michigan up at 9th. BYU at 10. Michigan State 11. Oklahoma State at 12. Arkansas falling down to 13. After losing to Georgia this past weekend. Notre Dame at 14. Coastal at 15. Kentucky jumping all the way up to 16 after not being ranked last week. Figured that was going to happen, and we'll get to a little bit of that coming up. Ole Miss falling down to 17. Auburn there at 18. You got three SEC schools there in 16, 17, and 18. So you got 5 total in the top 18. 19 Wake Forest, and then you got Florida there at 20. So boom, look at there. Technically, you have got... what is that, 6 SEC teams in the top 20? And you got Texas at 21. So in 5 years, or when we get to 2025, Texas and Oklahoma being there, you would have 7 teams in the top 21 all being SEC. Then 22, you got Arizona State, 23 NC State, 24 SMU, 25. Check this out, Clemson no longer in the top 25 for the first time in a very long time. San Diego State taking that 25 spot from them. Kind of wild to look at that. Kind of crazy to think that Clemson's no longer in the top 25. But, hey, we're an SEC podcast, not an ACC podcast. But one of our SEC teams in Georgia did start that trail. It's kind of like Georgia broke Clemson to start the season. And they just have not been able to put the pieces back together since and have slowly but surely kind of fallen off and to the wayside. Let's jump into some games. Let's start right there with Georgia. They did get the game day kickoff. It was at lunchtime, a very early kick for such a big game where number 8 Arkansas traveled to number 2 Georgia. I actually had the pleasure of being able to go to that game. Whole lot of fun. What a loud atmosphere. And I'm going to tell you what, Georgia's fan base accounted for, I would say, at least 5 penalties in this game. Arkansas racked them up for over 100 yards in penalties. And the first 2 plays of Arkansas's first drive of the game resulted in false starts, being in that end zone right there where we were sitting, right there in that end zone, backed them all the way up within the 10-yard line. And then, let me tell you, the loudest it ever got was when a block punt came there later in the first quarter, right there in that same end zone. They said that it was louder in Sanford Stadium on Saturday at lunchtime when all that happened at the start of the game than it was for a night game up at Penn State in a whiteout. It was louder at Sanford Stadium at lunchtime than a night game whiteout in Penn State. Take that for what you will, but kind of a crazy number there. Georgia absolutely dominated all aspects of this game. Offensively, they ran for 273 yards, just ran over Arkansas. Defensively, didn't let them score. 37-0 Dogs roll on. Special teams, block punt for a touchdown there again in the first quarter. It was 21-0 in the first quarter before Arkansas realized they were even in the state of Georgia. Georgia absolutely putting it on them, holding Arkansas below 200 points in the entire game, 85 yards through the air, 74, I believe, on the ground for the Razorbacks. The Dogs dominant. Crazy stat here. Georgia putting in Stetson Bennett as the starter over JT Daniels, as JT is still battling some injuries. The last couple of weeks it's been an oblique strain, and this week it is a lat strain after, I guess, they say that, you know, once you start to battle some injury there, your body is trying to overcompensate for that injury, and what happens is you usually injure other parts of your body. They've got a wide receiver. I think he's also battling the same issue, and Dominic Blaylock, where he had, you know, tore an ACL. I think he turned around and tore another one. Now he's got a pulled hamstring and still not able to get back. So it's crazy how your body tries to overcompensate for one injury and then can lead to others. Sad to hear there, but Stetson Bennett did come in. Only had to throw the ball 11 times. Went 7 for 11. Did not even throw for 100 yards. Only threw the ball, I believe, for 72 yards in this game. No touchdowns. All the touchdowns. 3 touchdowns on the ground. 2 by Zamir White. 1 by Kendall Milton. The other was Zamir White falling on a block punt in the end zone there for Georgia. So again, Georgia rolling in this one 37-0. This is the first time Georgia has blanked 2 teams back-to-back since 1980. Fun stat here. When was the last time Georgia won a national championship? 1980. Again, another one of those kind of tidbits. Take it for what you will. We'll see how the season goes. But so far, number 2 Georgia looking very dominant, especially on defense as they move forward. All of that being under backup quarterback Stetson Bennett. Moving on down to Tennessee and Missouri. Tennessee absolutely rolls Missouri in this one. 62-24. Had we had the audio from last week, you would have heard me say that I believe Tennessee, if Hendon Hooker is the quarterback for Tennessee in this game, I think Tennessee wins it. But if Joe Milton's the quarterback, I think Missouri wins it. Lo and behold, you get Hendon Hooker, and look what Tennessee does. Not only through the air, but they were also able to run the ball very effectively. I remember the first or second quarter of the Georgia game, a couple of guys behind us were kind of keeping us posted on some of the scores. You know, Pitt was taking care of Georgia Tech, and somebody had told us the score of the Tennessee game, and we were all blown away just how bad Tennessee was beating Missouri at the half. But Tennessee, yeah, absolutely just steamrolls Missouri 62-24. Missouri, you know, my preseason picks on the year, I thought Missouri and Kentucky were going to be up there fighting against Florida for that number 2 spot. Unfortunately, Missouri, I was wrong about. Kentucky, we're going to get to them in a minute, because so far I'm doing pretty good on my picks with them. But in the end, Tennessee does take that one again, 62-24. Jumping down to the next biggest game in the SEC this weekend, number 12 Ole Miss traveling to number 1 Alabama. Go ahead and give them a little bit of rat poison, and that rat poison is in the form of Popcorn Lane Kiffin. What are you doing before the game telling the reporter to get your popcorn ready, throwing the headphones down, and then proceeding to get shellacked by Alabama 42-21. It was 28-0. 28-0 by the time we hit the half. Alabama absolutely steamrolled Ole Miss in this one. Matt Corral, Bryce Young, both of them coming in as Heisman favorites. Top of the Heisman race. 1-2. Supposed to be a huge offensive battle. And it was for Alabama. They did a fantastic job on offense. Ole Miss, on the other hand, not so much. Not until later. Alabama rolls this one 42-21. And go ahead and eat your popcorn there, Lane Kiffin, as you sit back and watch the tide roll in through the night, because it's exactly what it was. Alabama looked very good offensively. I will say this, Lane Kiffin kind of gave that game up early. You know, you go for it on fourth down a couple of times, you're successful. Eventually that luck is going to run out against Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, and it did in this one. Going for it there on fourth and goal, couldn't push it in. Alabama drives all the way down the field and scores, and then a couple of drives later shows you what you're supposed to do on fourth and goal when they pushed it in the end zone on fourth and goal to go up, I believe at that time, either 14-21-0. Then Lane turns around again on like his own 35 and goes for it on fourth down again, coming up unsuccessful. And from that point, you give any momentum to Alabama and they're going to roll with it. Not to mention that any call that's called in this game is going to go Alabama's way, especially being in Tuscaloosa. Loud atmosphere there as well. Alabama, again, just steamrolls Ole Miss 42-21. Moving down to Troy in South Carolina. Troy, the local home favorites of us, Cody and I being over there near the Troy area. Kind of pull for Troy a little bit in this one, even though it is against an SEC opponent. But South Carolina in the end does pull it out 23-14. Luke Doty helping out in a big way there. But Troy gave them all they could throughout most of this game. In the end, South Carolina does prevail 23-14. One of the other big ones in the weekend, one that I will get to my picks here in just a little bit, but I did call this one Kentucky. Kentucky is who I thought, as well as Missouri. I figured one of these two teams is going to give Florida a run for their money this year. Guess what? And lo and behold, it turns out to be Kentucky. Kentucky upsetting number 10 Florida 20-13. First time Kentucky has won in Lexington against Florida since 1986. Long time. You know, you go back just a couple of years ago, and it was the first time that Kentucky had beat Florida since, I think, like 1979 or 1980. I may be wrong on that exact date, but it's Mark Stoops has figured Dan Mullen out. And some strangeness at the end of that game, Dan Mullen smiling and laughing, going to shake Mark Stoops' hand after the game, like he couldn't be upset that they just lost the game when they had an opportunity, a throw in the end zone by Emory Jones that was deflected by Kentucky's defense to put an end to the game, and Kentucky prevails 20-13. And not only that, but they jump up way in the rankings, not being ranked all the way up to 16 Florida. They obviously fall all the way down to that 20 spot following that. Kentucky, what I was talking about before was they're the team I think is going to be fighting for Florida in that second position. They move forward. They are now 5-0, second in the SEC East, right behind 5-0 Georgia. And that game we will get to see, not this coming week, but the following week, Georgia and Kentucky will match up after this week, Georgia and Auburn, and Kentucky will also face off against LSU this weekend. So get to see a little bit about both of these teams moving forward, but Kentucky looked really good in this one. Glad to see it, was excited to see that Kentucky was able to pull this one out, just because, you know, a lot of streaks came to an end, and that was fun to see there for Kentucky to pull that one out 22-13. Jumping down to Mississippi State, Texas A&M. Unfortunately for Texas A&M, even being at the 12th man, it did not matter when Mississippi State came to town, because I have been pushing very hard for Will Rogers, and Will Rogers came through in a big way in this game, throwing the ball for over 400 yards. I get my number pulled up here real quick because that was one of the things I wanted to look at. Yeah, 408 yards, 3 touchdowns, threw the ball almost 60 times, but was 46-59. Not a bad completion ratio there. Isaiah Spiller also carried the ball for 100 yards, 16 touches. Mekhi Polk, 126 yards, 2 touches. He was the main guy Will Rogers was connecting there with in Mississippi State's win over 15-ranked Texas A&M 26-22. And I'm going to tell you this, Texas A&M's defense has looked really decent throughout the year, and it did not in this game. This was the first time that we've seen Texas A&M's defense actually get exposed in a game. On the other side of that, Texas A&M, without Haynes King as quarterback, their offense spits and sputters here and there. And it's really sad to see for a team that I had so much high hopes on. If you go back to the start of this season, I thought it would be a possibility of a three-way tie between Ole Miss, Alabama, and Texas A&M. Since then, Alabama has taken off. They have pulled away from the crowd, and obviously after doing what they did this past Saturday to Ole Miss, completely smashed that bug, thinking that Ole Miss might be able to play with them as they absolutely dominate them. Well, then Texas A&M has shown us now, falling to 3-2, that they just cannot get it done offensively to be able to hang up with those. And you actually do for a game that we were really excited about earlier this year. Alabama traveling to Texas A&M no longer looks like that exciting of a game. Texas A&M, they've got a lot of work to do, and they've got the work cut out for them taking on Alabama. Even though they get them out of the house again, Mississippi State taking this one 26-22. Now, down to the bottom of the barrel bowl, Vandy and UConn coming into this one. Look at here, Vandy goes down and scores a last-second game-winning field goal, 30-28 to take down the UConn Huskies. Proud of you, Vandy, for coming in here and getting the win. I'm not going to go into any stats because, again, it was the bottom of the barrel bowl. Congratulations to you. Ken Seals got you down the field to be able to kick a field goal and win that one 32-28. Now, down to the game that everybody had pretty much gone to bed for, woke up the next morning and said, oh, look at there, Auburn actually won the thing. Credit, I will give a little bit of credit here, and that goes to Bo Nix. I've said it in this podcast, I still believe it. Even in this game, there are times where I still believe it. Bo Nix is so inconsistent. I came on, and again, the audio was lost, but I said that I think Bo Nix lost his job the week previous when they played Georgia State, and he struggled mightily when T.J. Finley at the end of the game came in and kind of, quote-unquote, saved them in a game they should have never had to be saved from. And I thought T.J. would get the nod, especially going back to his former team in the LSU. I thought that was kind of going to be kind of a fun story. But Harsin decides to go with Bo Nix, and he came through in the clutch. There were a couple of plays where he ran around like Johnny Manziel trying to get loose from Alabama and not get tackled. And ends up making something out of nothing. Multiple times connected with former Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm's brother, Tyler. I think it was Tyler Fromm there. Tight end for Auburn on a couple of plays that, again, just making something out of nothing. Auburn prevails 24-19 in this one. Just a late shootout. I watched about half of it, and I was like, all right. I had driven all the way home from Athens that night. I was like, I'm going to sleep. And I did exactly what I just told you. I woke up the next morning and went, huh, look at there. Auburn ended up pulling it out. So congrats to Auburn on this one, 24-19. Let's talk about a couple of these teams real quick. Georgia, we've had questions. Can that offensive line block enough to make the run game existent in this one? Will they ever get to a point where we start to believe, okay, they can't actually run the ball on a team? You finally got to see that. That was one of the questions I had. Can they run the ball? They run the ball for almost 300 yards in this one, 273 yards on a team in Arkansas who had not been giving up run plays very often against teams. The chunk plays that have come against Arkansas for the most part have come through the air. That did not happen. All of what Georgia did is just rammed it down their throat all night long, almost averaging 5 yards a carry on the night. Georgia absolutely ran it down their throat. Offensive line looked really good. They did get Darnell Washington back, which helped a lot as far as blocking goes on that offensive line, having him there in that tight end position. So that helps some. The second question we had was, will the secondary of Georgia be elite enough not to get beat deep? Well, I'll tell you this. There were no deep plays in this game that Georgia got beat by. So it worked out really well. And these questions that we've been asking have so far been answered. Now, we still need to see Georgia go against an elite offense, maybe such as an Alabama. But guess what? That's not on the schedule. If that comes, it's going to be December 4th if both teams continue on the collision course they are both on their way to at the moment. So let's just keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, Tennessee. Again, we talked about that. Hendon Hooker, if he's the quarterback, it makes such a difference. Joe Milton at this point should just, I would never want anybody to go to the transfer portal, but at this point, Hendon Hooker is the guy. Tennessee has finally figured it out there with Josh Heupel. Stick with him, and you may actually be successful in this one. Now, you're not going to win the SEC East. You're not going to make it real shiny and flashy, but you can get in games that you should win and do so very, very encouragingly. Down to Ole Miss, Alabama. Again, we talked a little bit about the Heisman race between Bryce Young and Matt Corral. Matt Corral did not look all that great in this one. Later in the game, we did start to see them actually move the ball a little bit more efficiently to be able to put up a few touchdowns in this game. Bryce Young, he looked pretty good. I will say this, Alabama's offensive line is probably the best in the country because I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback be able to sit in the pocket as long as Bryce Young is allowed to sit there. To be able to sit there in the pocket as long as he is and have your, I mean, just have a play unfold for as long as it needs to. If you need 10 seconds back there, all right, buddy, we'll give you 12. That's how good Alabama's offensive line is blocking. I will give a little bit of credit to Ole Miss's defense. They did look better than they did last year, but still not good enough to slow down a team whose offense is as high-powered as Alabama. Again, that's something I would love to see, even if it was next week, is Alabama's offense, especially with that offensive line facing off against a Georgia defense in that front four. You put that front four against that offensive line, that's probably the matchup of the ages when it comes down to a game like that in the trenches. Now, the back end for Georgia against that Alabama offense and the high-powered deep passes that Alabama likes to do, that'll be a question, but again, we've got a long way to go before we probably see that happen if we get to see it this season. And as of right now, that's the route we're headed. South Carolina, again, Luke Doty, he's the answer there at South Carolina. You need him in there. Kentucky, Will Levis, look good in this one. Florida, Emory Jones, when is Dan Mullen going to figure it out? You know, he was a little bit of a savior in that Alabama game, helping to fight back, and maybe that was enough for Dan to say, okay, I've got my guy, I just need to stick with him and go into it here. You get in this game, you put in Anthony Richardson a few times. He's successful a few times as well. But then you take him back out and you put Emory in. When are you going to figure out that Emory Jones is good, but you eventually have to make a call to be able to put the guy in who's going to make you successful? And Anthony Richardson is that guy, a guy who is both dominant through the air, but also dominant with his legs to be able to make plays for you. I get that you want to be faithful to a guy who has sat there behind a couple of quarterbacks that you have brought up. I get that 100%. But if you want to win ball games, that side of things does not matter anymore. Kirby Smart has somewhat had to learn that with Georgia and Stetson Bennett. You got to go with the guy who matters most, and that's JT Daniels. Unfortunately, right now, JT's hurt, so he gets to stick with Stetson. But Dan's got to figure that out. I don't think Emory Jones is the answer. I think Emory can win a lot of ball games. I think he's a good football player. I think if he's the quarterback at Kentucky, that helps Kentucky out a lot, but he's not. He's at Florida, where you have Anthony Richardson in the wings, who is a playmaker. He's also a mistake maker, but he is a playmaker as well. Let's see how that moves forward going on. Mississippi State, I've bought into the Will Rogers hype at the end of last season when Mississippi State played Georgia, and Will Rogers looked as good as he did. And I'm going to keep buying into that stock because I think he's a good player. If everybody around him can surround that same situation, A&M, unfortunately, you're not going to have Haynes King back till the middle of late October, so that's the unfortunate thing because that defense is good. Those wideouts are good. The running backs are good. You just don't have a quarterback who is able to help you win these games when you need them. And I think this is the time you look back and you go, you know, if there was ever a time we wish we could have had Kellen Mond for one more season, it's now. Now is the time we really wish we could have had him. Unfortunately, they don't. And this is kind of where you look right now. Not looking all that good. 3-2 starting the season here, which Mississippi State should also be 4-1 at this point, unfortunately, for falling to Memphis in a game they shouldn't have. Vandy, hey, you won a game. Congratulations. All right, moving on down to Auburn. Auburn again, Bo Nix. Been inconsistent. Thought T.J. Finley would get the start. Bo Nix gets to kind of revive himself after that Georgia State game and did a really good job in this one. Again, running around like Johnny Manziel at times, where it blew my mind looking back and seeing some of the stats and seeing just how much he ran around in this one. But, you know, he carries the ball 74 yards and a touchdown on that one. Max Johnson, he didn't look all that terrible, though. But that 50% ratio, you can't really do that either. 325 yards and a touchdown on the night. But Auburn's offense, in the end, ended up being enough to prevail there in the fourth quarter to score a couple of touchdowns, holding LSU to nothing there in the fourth quarter, and that made the difference in the game. That's what we had this week. I'll go through my picks real quick again. Unfortunately, I didn't even put up any visual this past week. It's been so busy. But I'll stay true to my word, and I'll give you my picks from this past weekend. I did take Ole Miss plus those 14.5 points at the time, and also took Ole Miss for the outright win. Obviously, boom, 0-2 starting the day there. Then we moved down to Auburn. I took LSU minus those 3 points. Because I thought LSU could take care of that. Also took LSU to win this one. Look at there, 0-4 on the top of my bracket. Then we moved down to Florida and Kentucky. I took Kentucky plus the 7.5 in that one. Give it to me finally. Ding, ding, get one. I took Georgia with the win over Arkansas. Take that one too. Start to get some back. I took Mississippi State losing to Texas A&M. That one didn't happen, so boom, falling again. Thought that Missouri would beat Tennessee. That didn't happen either. South Carolina, I had them winning against Troy. Get that one. Then Vandy, I had them winning over UConn. So this is the first week that I actually did not look very good and ended up going 4-6 under the 500 mark. So right now, that will put me up to, actually, I need to update this number, 47-15 after week three, but I didn't add the week four picks to it. So I'll have to go back and do that one. Some of the preseason, looking back at the preseason chart that I had from this week, week five slate. I had Alabama beating Ole Miss in the preseason. That happened. I had Arkansas losing to Georgia. That happened. I had Auburn losing to LSU. That didn't happen. By the way, first time Auburn has beat LSU in Death Valley since 1999. Florida at Kentucky, I had Florida winning that one in the preseason, even though once we started the season, I started to lean more towards that Kentucky way. Moving down, let's see, Ole Miss, Alabama, we already talked about that. Mississippi State at Texas A&M. I still have Mississippi State losing that one because I felt so high about Texas A&M. Unfortunately, Haynes King injury start in the season has changed that up a lot. I had Missouri beating Tennessee. Again, that one didn't happen. Had South Carolina actually losing to Troy in this one, and that didn't happen. Tennessee, Texas A&M, Vandy. I did have Vandy beating UConn in that one. So preseason-wise, I look at it, and I actually went 4-4. On my preseason, I just changed up a couple in it. Now, let's look at this week six slate. Not quite as good as week five. It's going to be hard to beat week five as many games as we had. We did have 4 top 10 teams fall in week five, and I think we are on a record for top 25 teams falling in a single season as much as it has. I know we look back at it, I think week three or week four, and it was the most since like 1939 that had lost that early in the season that were in the top 25, whether it was 2 other ranked teams or 2 unranked teams. Let's look at the week six slate, a game that we thought was going to be a huge one. Right now has been diminished a little bit with the way that Texas A&M's offense has been going. Alabama traveling to the 12th man there in College Station at Texas A&M. I don't have the times pulled up here, but we'll go through that once we do the preview episode coming up later this week. Arkansas at Ole Miss, that may actually turn out to be a really good one. Arkansas, that offense, completely stunned by Georgia's defense, but you're about to go up against a offensive juggernaut who did not get to put the offense on the field like they wanted to against Alabama. So you're going to have 2 really mad teams. Arkansas, whose defense did not stop Georgia's run game. Arkansas, whose offense did not move the ball, even with KJ Jefferson in there, even though we thought he was a little dinged up, he was not mobile in that game against Georgia. Ole Miss, now you got a Matt Corral, who's also mad that he only put up 3 touchdowns in this game, or at least that Ole Miss only put up 3 touchdowns in this game. Didn't look good in that one. Defense, did not show that the defensive teeth that they've showed so far this season. Again, they really haven't played anybody, but this should be a really good one. It is in Oxford, so that could be the difference in this game. We'll get to picks later up this week, see how we feel about it as we hear any kind of news that comes out between now and then. Auburn, Georgia, a big one there. Auburn at the house in Jordan-Hare. That one's supposed to be, I think, at 3:30 on CBS. Should be a fun one. We'll see if Bo Nix can continue the magic or if Georgia's defense just continues to be as elite and dominant as they are. Top defense in the country. Florida Vandy, shouldn't be much happening there. Kentucky, LSU, that one is in Lexington as well, so that one should be a fun one. Let's see if Kentucky can keep the magic rolling as well. in this one as LSU gets to travel to them after falling to Auburn last week, and Kentucky coming off the high horse of beating Florida. Mississippi State's got a bye this week. Missouri, North Texas should take care of business. South Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee with Hendon Hooker should take care of South Carolina in this one. Unfortunately, South Carolina not looking all that great. And that is our Week 6 slate. So we've got a few fun games coming up, but for the most part, that's kind of going to wrap us up there. Again, I really appreciate you guys listening. And let's see if I can get my stuff pulled up here. Yeah, there we go. Get the music rocking and rolling again. I will check in on you guys come Thursday where we will preview all of those games we just talked about. Again, go and check us out on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Appreciate you guys listening. I will check in on you guys on Thursday.